I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lane. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Yes, thank you, and it's always good to be with you.
Tell me, I've often wondered, is there a reason why some properties actually fail?
Well, look, I'm sure many of our listeners would have spent hours preparing a presentation for work or a social occasion, and when the moment arrives, things just seem to go wrong. I mean, you can't work it out. You're just left wondering, after all the preparation, why things just didn't work out. And it's not just constrained to commercial property.
So what's the solution?
Well, whether it's a presentation or buying commercial property, what you need is being able to follow a proven blueprint that spells everything out step by step. And that's the main reason that after, 45 plus years of experience, that I have put together and provide to my clients all the training material which is contained in the 9-step investment formula. And as you probably gathered, it needs to be followed sequentially. Now, I mean, in the 9 steps, there's 3 that are before you purchase, 2 during the purchase, and then another 3 steps after you purchased. But by following it step by step, it helps you to minimise any chance of things falling apart along the way.
So will that guarantee your success?
Look, I don't think anything in life is 100% guaranteed. However, that doesn't mean that you can't take certain steps to ensure that you can identify any potential risks and then implement, as I said, proven strategies to help you minimise your exposure. And as you've heard me say on a number of occasions now, commercial property investing is not overly complicated. All you need to do is to quickly discover what the rules are and then use them to your own advantage.
Well, perhaps you could scope out some of the issues involved and the reasons they might occur.
Okay, well, let's quickly run through how you might be unwittingly contributing to the failure of one of your own properties. I suppose the first place to start is inexperience. And that is just, I suppose, a combination of over-enthusiasm and a lack of knowledge. I mean, some people just launch in without doing a lot of research or just getting a basic understanding of what commercial property is all about. I mean, sometimes you negotiate a bad deal, and that comes about basically because you got too emotionally involved in it. Now, emotion's okay with residential property because, you've got to live there, your family. I mean, it's a whole lot of background issues. But when it comes to commercial property, it's pure numbers. Either it works or it doesn't work. And then there's undertaking poor due diligence. And again, it's basically failing to follow a checklist that I provide to my clients as to how to go about doing your due diligence. As I said, lack of market knowledge. It's just being unfamiliar with a specific location or a type of property. I mean, you don't have to necessarily buy in your own hometown if you've got a consultant who is an expert in an area that's geographically unknown to you. You might understand the type of property, but not necessarily the location. But the location happens to be where there is good growth potential, but you don't have that market knowledge. Again, when you're negotiating, you might have ended up paying too much. And sometimes the reason for doing that, you're frightened of losing the deal. I mean, you've always got to be prepared to walk away from a deal. I mean, you've got to care, but not that much. As soon as you you have to have the property, you'll end up paying over and above what it's really worth. And sometimes you might get the price right, but then you forget their acquisition costs, your stamp duty, your legals, organising the finance, those sort of things. Another reason could be you've got no exit strategy. You're too focused on today buying the property, but you don't think about what's going to happen in 4 or 5 years' time. What is my exit strategy? Can I subdivide the property into something smaller? Can I change its use, tenant were to leave? So you've got to think down the track of what your options are at the point when you want to sell. Also, over-borrowing. You know, the property may be too large. You might have stretched yourself too much, you know, and overcommitted. And part of that is not having a buffer zone as well. I mean, there's no good borrowing to the hilt and then for whatever reason the tenant may miss a rent payment and therefore that forces you to miss an interest payment. You've got to have enough coverage so that you can comfortably buy the property, meet all the acquisition costs, then have a buffer amount if for whatever reason, it might be quite legitimate. I mean, it might be that your tenant, the financial controller, drops dead at Christmas time and they're just in chaos over January and February while they sort it out. Now, there's nothing wrong with the tenant. It's just that they just missed your rent payment that was scheduled for January and February and that puts you behind the eight ball. So, you know, it's just understanding and looking forward as to what might happen.
Okay. Are there any other issues listeners should look out for?
Well, I suppose having bought the property is poor management of the property. I mean, it may be some people try and handle it themselves. They want to save costs, but, you know, that's not a smart move. You know, they just have a reluctance to pay for a good property manager. But you may get away with that with residential property, but with commercial property, there are so many things that need to be attended to. I mean, not only the rent collection and making sure they pay the outgoings. That's the other thing. Residential property, you pay all the outgoings, but with the commercial property, the tenant does. So you've got to make sure that all those, the rates and the insurance and the maintenance and things like that, that they pay them and reimburse you. And that's what an agent does. And then there's compliance things, occupational health and safety, essential services compliance. There are a whole lot of issues that you've got to be abreast of, and that's where a competent managing agent can do that. The other thing is, and it's hard to foresee, but say if there's a market collapse at the end of a boom, you know, everything was escalating, so you thought, you know, I better hop in before it all runs out. But then you might have been buying at the top of the surge and the boom, and unfortunately when the lease expires, the market's down. So you've got to understand where you sit in a particular property cycle. And that will vary from capital city to capital city around Australia so that they're not all in sync. Last century they were. They seem to operate in sync. Since the global financial crisis, the markets have been out of sync and some are still trying to bottom out, whereas others, like Sydney perhaps, is getting close to its peak. Holding on to the property for too long. Now, I'm not a great believer in churning the property, but with my clients, I say to them they need to have a mandatory 4-year review and make a conscious decision to continue to own the property. Now, in other words, they have to convince themselves why they should keep holding it. And there may be very good reasons, and I'm not suggesting you should necessarily sell. It may well be you restructure the finance, borrow and head off and buy another property but still keep the one that you've just bought. But it's just understanding that it's not a file a title in the filing cabinet and forget about it. You have to consciously be aware and make decisions along your path of ownership. Sometimes also people end up spreading themselves too thin because they become accumulators of property rather than strategic investors. And they keep adding a lot of smaller properties. You know, when they can afford another one, they buy another small property. there sometimes needs to be a decision made. Maybe I've got to sell off the smaller properties, consolidate into something larger where I can really start to add value. Because if you've got a whole lot of smaller strata offices, which you can buy for the same price as, you know, a two-bedroom apartment, but just having a portfolio made up of those, you can't add a lot of value. Whereas if you can consolidate and buy something in the million-plus bracket, you can then possibly subdivide it and add value at very little cost and get what I call super growth. So you get growth over and above what the market will deliver. And maybe the last thing is that you have unexpected legal action. And that's where you have failed to fully protect your asset at the outset in the way you've structured it, either in the vehicle that you purchased in, so it's quarantined, and that even if something does go awry, and not that you plan for that or expect it, but you do have to plan in case it could, that any legal action is quarantined to that property and can't leak into your personal assets or attack you personally. So I think that probably covers most of the issues that are likely to arise and the implications of that.
So what you have told us today, most of it would seem common sense.
Well, yes, but knowing the various issues means that you can create your own checklist to avoid them going forward.
You're right. That makes perfect sense. And once again, thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure.